All right, Gary, what are we playing this week?
Well, Cole, as you know, as podcasters, we have an immense amount of power.
Oh, too much, actually.
Yeah. Like, we, you know, very, very popular household name, you know, just rolling in it. You know, we'd walk out super famous.
Yeah, our voices echo in the halls of power.
Yes, and in the halls of medicine. I can't go to the grocery store without getting mobbed.
Right.
So I feel like as kind of an element of responsibility, kind of artistic integrity, I've taken the liberty of injecting us both with a virus.
When did you do this?
Last time you were here for the expo.
Oh, okay. Huh, so that's why I have that large festering sore that never quite heals.
I am really bad with needles, and it took me a long time to find the vein.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if anyone's ever told you that before, but, like, it is...
Well, no.
It was, like, a multi-jab sitch.
No, I'm actually... That is a real thing about me. Ever since I was little, impossible to find veins.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So is it just, like, wood under there, or just kind of, like, a bloody sponge? Like, how...
No, it's just hard to find.
It's just difficult. Yeah.
There have been numerous times where they've had to use butterfly needles on the back of my hand.
Ah.
Yep. And
thanks.
I hate getting IVs because of that.
Well, that's fascinating. Let's save that for in about 10 minutes or so. Yep. So giving us this virus, and the virus is, so if we ever get out of hand, if we ever get too up our own ass, we can, this virus will get activated and knock us out. Take care of us. Just kill us. You know,
just put us into a coma. Like you
said, no. Like knock us out like dead. Like just like end the whole thing. Duck feed implodes. You know, the Wayback Machine, people are scouring for like, where is the sacrifice episode? And then they can't find it. So I did that, and then I thought, you know what? When I made the decision, I was very drunk.
Yeah.
And I was very sentimental, and I was thinking about, you know, I like was texting exes, and like it was a real bad scene. So now I think we should try to find the cure to this virus.
Wait, you didn't have one when you administered it?
Like very drunk. Very drunk. And like maybe, you know, so to get that thing, we need to find out the name of the virus. So I'm going to go ahead and draw some blood from you using a butterfly needle on the back of your hand. I didn't know that was a thing until now.
Yeah.
But I'm going to do that, and then we're going to find out a little bit more about the virus that I put in my drunken bender.
Okay, well, just take some of my blood. Actually, no, just take a Q-tip and dab it off of this open sore. Gary, what I think you did is I think you like just opened up a vein and like spit it
just
into
it
there. Yeah, well, you just like you just kind of like injected it with your mouth. I think that you just blew it in.
Let me. Okay.
So just dab that wound real good.
Okay, dabbing. A little dabble to you. Okay. Okay. So I'm gonna put this under the old microscope. Look at the name of the virus. So we can find the cure.
It's a whole bunch of little. Huh.
God, I was so fucking drunk, man. I thought I was putting a virus in, but I put in a ROM.
it's a ROM of X-Men Wolverine's Rage.
Wolverine's Revenge, my friend.
Oh. What?
Are there different games? Do we play different games?
Maybe.
Oh, it's an Object Suffering book report. Yay! Dun, 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 dun.
All right.
The randomization got away from me, but we played different games for free, and it's gonna make everything make sense tonight.
Okay. So what system was the game that you play? Well, first off, what's your name?
Gary Butterfield.
Okay, my name is Cole Ross.
This is Abject Suffering, the show where it's time for a book report tonight. Gonna hang out and play all right. Abject Suffering, the show where we play different games and compare them, apparently.
Oh, whoops.
Fuck, man. Yeah, I just kind of got it in my head, like, what we were going to do.
Uh-huh.
And then just kind of went on autopilot and played X2 Wolverine's Revenge for GBA.
Oh, wow. Huh.
Instead of Wolverine's Rage for Game Boy Color.
Uh-huh.
So
Yeah. Let's talk about
our Wolverine game. I mean, ultimately, at the end of the day, like, yeah, this was going to end up resulting in a bunch of tangents about Wolverine.
Yes, it was. There is probably not enough to say about either of these, but together.
Yeah, this is secretly a good thing.
Yes.
This Wolverine suite. Yeah.
So this episode was commissioned by Jeremy Greer, who will understand. And also he put in the wrong name, but he said it was Game Boy Color. So that's what made me go to rage.
So what did Jeremy put? Let's get to the bottom of this. What did Jeremy actually put into the thing?
He put X-Men Wolverine's Revenge for the Game Boy Color. And his only comment was Logan is a jerk.
So that's the thing, is that Wolverine's Revenge is a Game Boy Advance game.
Right.
So that's who can blame me? Like right. You're choosing to get the system or the name wrong.
Right.
You know, there's no way to get them both
right. Yeah, I know. We both fucked up equally, I think.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know what Jeremy wants. Like, who can know him but all.
And now he has leverage over us.
That's true. Because one of us will have done it right. Like,
right.
The other one can do a private 30-minute Skype session, like, tell them about what they thought of the other one to make a complete abject suffering.
Yeah.
From it. So tell me about. Let's talk about the game. Tell me about Wolverine's Rage, which I'm watching on YouTube now.
Yeah. So Wolverine's Rage is probably the most basic and standard superhero side scroller. I've played in a very long time. You're playing as Wolverine. He's out there carousing. He is busting heads in the opening cutscene, and then Professor Xavier, he psychically links with him and says, "Oh no, Deathstrike has developed a toxin that will melt your skeleton."
Oh, geez.
And so you have to find her and stop that from happening.
I just watched him. He also just ran forward and knocked over, like, he's knocking over trash cans.
Yep. I think he's giving noogies to two cops, but their baldish heads look like testicles.
This is very lovingly animated.
Yeah, no, it's like, it's not terrible. It looks very good for a Game Boy Color platformer. Lovingly animated, as you said. You get a good sense of, like, the action, but it doesn't quite get a hold of what Wolverine is to me. I don't know.
What is Wolverine to you?
What is sipping cocoa on a cool fall afternoon?
A pair of flannel pajamas and some chamomile.
Yeah. No, it's just I don't know, like, the only thing I think of, like, the only game that I think has captured it for me is that God of War clone that I think the one you played is a shitty version,
like a demake of.
Yeah.
I haven't played that one. I watched a bunch of cutscenes and it's very ugly. Mm-hmm. In a way that, like, PS2, like, uniquely PS2 game,
yeah,
you know, what they're trying to emulate real actors can be. But it did look like the kind of thing I would, like, dig. I was kind of surprised I never played X2 Wolverine's Revenge on PS2,
yeah,
back in the day, because it looks good. I've also heard good things about the X-Men 3 Wolverine game.
Hmm.
Wolverine, like, in the weird, the kind of 32-bit and above, you know, or like kind of Wolverine's had a good run of it, it feels like.
Yeah.
Weirdly enough. And as far as, like, video game heroes go, not so bad in general. Like, I remember, like, the Nintendo games, the LJN ones are pretty shitty.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not, like, the worst LJN games or anything.
Right.
They're just, like, pretty shitty. And then some of these are actually, so that one's, you know, the X2 game looks relatively decent. The one I played for this show is good.
Oh, wow.
Like, and I played it when I was young. Like, it's a game I knew, and that's probably why I gravitated to it. I was just like, oh, this is the Wolverine game for Game Boy. It's straight up, like, it's good.
Oh, wow.
It's a real good game. So how, like, what else about this? What else you got in the book report portion? Because I was watching, it's like lots of platforms and killing guys with guns.
Yeah, I got killed by Roof Steam. Again.
Hey, bub. Vaporized water, eh, bub?
it's not like I've survived nuclear explosions, eh, bub?
Yeah. It's just like, yeah, they literally coated my skeleton with molten metal, bub. But this steam, this thing that people pay to have happen to them is going to kill me.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, that's somewhere on the level of Wolverine being killed by a bee.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I love it if Wolverine just had a bee allergy.
It's something about his healing factor. It's like it's hyper immune system also means that he has like really hyperactive allergic reactions.
Yeah.
Huh.
I'm into it. Yeah. Apparently you're collecting DNA strands that spell Wolverine, and that's how you get to different levels in this. Like there's
that's your end goal.
Your name. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very funny.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like collecting KONG and Donkey Kong.
Yeah.
You're just you're a narcissist hoarder.
Well, in Donkey Kong, there's an end of a level too, right? Isn't collecting KONG just to get an extra life?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like this is just that's how you beat the level.
Yeah. Well, it's what they have instead of a door that says exit.
Yeah. But they mean that you like that. That's very funny.
Yeah.
Like what is that takes me out of this. What does that even represent?
Yeah.
Wolverine's reach.
You're also fighting just a real, like just the C tier of enemies. Like you've got Cyber, you've got Lady Deathstrike, you've got Sabretooth. It's like,
yeah,
not really that good.
Yeah. Cyber is specifically really hard.
Can you explain Cyber to me?
Oh, buddy, can I explain Cyber to you? He is like Wolverine if instead of having an adamantium skeleton he had a adamantium endoskeleton or like a exoskeleton.
Oh, weird.
So he's like coated in adamantium.
Huh.
Like he's a big strong guy who's coated with a thin layer of adamantium.
Does he have somebody who kind of applies baby powder through straws in the joints of his
he might.
I could imagine.
I think he is a villain of like Wolverine's weapon, like 90s Weapon X days, not the Canada Weapon X, but the Maverick and Sabretooth and those guys. The guy who's can shoot his hand off. I can't remember that guy's name.
Hando.
Hando, the hand punching wizard.
Yeah.
The guy. But yeah, Cyber, he had a very there were a set of Marvel trading cards I used to collect. And they were like super glossy and you know, looked real airbrushed and stuff. Hmm. And the Cyber one will always stand out in my memory because of this just like very lovingly rendered, super computer graphic looking, strong adamantium covered arm. Yeah, it was like just kind of flexing at the camera.
Yeah. So there's nothing special about this. Like it's very well animated. Your healing factor never really comes into play. I think I saw my health bar go up like one notch once when nothing wasn't happening. When nothing was happening rather. Your most effective move is to crouch and then attack.
Did you get to the boss? Did you get to Cyber?
Yeah, it's
I'm
real
watching
dumb.
The Cyber boss fight right now. it's real silly.
Yep.
His move of running into you really fast.
Yeah, I mean it's brain dead.
Yeah. This looks extremely bad.
Yeah.
Wolverine's Revenge, which is based, it's like a side story from the second movie. A GBA game, so it's a little bit, you know, more advanced, is like a very good action platformer.
Did you do that on purpose?
I don't know. Okay. Very good like action platformer. Like it's like you go through, there's a little bit of like risk reward because if you have your claws out, you don't heal. But if you have them in, you do. Mm-hmm. But you do less damage. You get power ups and then you have like a dash move you can do to like do longer jumps for kind of like platforming or time sections.
Fast moving game.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like real fluid. And then you find those power-ups, but they're all optional. It's like, it reminds you a little bit of like Mega Man X if you couldn't go back to levels, you know, to find the stuff you'd missed, which would be a pain, but you find new moves and stuff. You find kind of Street Fighter combinations and things that'll let you do different stuff.
Oh, nice. This wall jump actually looks really fun.
It's like a very fun game. I bought this with, there was this weird kind of time, it was a year before I moved out here. So it might've been like 2007, 2006. At the department store that I went to, like the Walmart or Target, I can't remember, used to buy double carts of GBA games.
Oh, yeah.
Like they were just like putting the same game in two carts. And they had this and a really good GBA Spider-Man game that were there. And then I also bought the first two Castlevanias. GBA Castlevanias were in cart.
Those are okay.
Yeah. Like they were, it was like a pretty cool value. Like I was really into it. You know, it was a cool value. Deal. Yeah. Slick deal.
Okay.
I was into the baller. The baller money crunch that happened from it. So
okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I was pretty into it. And also it was just like I liked X-Men shit, so I was surprised to find like, oh, this is like a good game. So
it's a good game that for very apparent reasons would have fallen below notice. Like it's surprising that this is good, given that it is based off of a movie and you know, this was kind of before that was a thing.
Yeah.
Where those would have been acceptably okay.
like Wolverine's rogues gallery, like his specific villains are like almost uniquely shitty.
Yeah.
Like if you just look at this, since he, you know, he had a solo career, he's such a breakout hit. He had to have a bunch of villains outside of the X-Men, and they're, this is one of the worst like superhero villain sets that's ever been.
Yeah, I'm not, you know? I can't get into it. I can't get into a Sabretooth. Like, I understand there's, what, Sabretooth is his brother?
Sabretooth was a, not, I don't think it's his, like, actually his brother. I think it's like an adopted brother or something.
Okay.
He got retconned in the Wolverine Origins.
Where we find out that he fought in the Civil War.
Yeah, yeah. We find out he fought in the Civil War, and he was, like, just a sickly little boy.
Yeah.
That is a really terrible comic. And also just, you know, misguided in the extreme. Like, it doesn't make Wolverine cooler to know his origins. Like, Wolverine is much cooler if you do not.
Right.
Do not know where he came from. But Sabretooth is just like a Wolverine. It does the Marvel thing of just having the, like...
The counterpart.
Oh, you know, yeah. You know, Hulk fights the Abomination. you know, Iron Man fights the Ironmonger.
Yeah.
You know, everyone just fighting the evil version of themselves.
Yeah, Ant-Man and fights then after the Wasp. That, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. which is sad. The,
He just found a white family. It was super weird.
He just had what?
He just found a white family to fight.
Yeah, exactly. Like, we just found his wife to fight.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like that's the Ant-Man Wasp thing. She's not a villain or anything. He just smacked her around a little bit.
Oh,
when he got possessed by.
I was not aware that was a thing. Oh no.
Oh yeah, yeah. The that's a very famous Ant-Man got turned into a Yellow Jacket. Like, he had a mind control thing.
That's what I meant. Yeah. Yellow Jacket. There we go.
Well, he was Yellow Jacket for a time. It's weird. Ant-Man mythology. But when he wasn't in control of his mind, apparently, and smacked Jan.
I'm such a fake nerd girl. I didn't
get out of this convention, Cole.
Hey, I totally didn't mean to like make light of domestic abuse, even in a comic.
If you're going to wear that costume,
you need to know.
You need to know. I'm going to quiz you about it, or you're going to get kicked out of fucking Wizard World 2017, buddy. But like all of his villains gallery are just these like adamantium nightmares. Like,
right.
People are just like, what do we know about Wolverine? Well, like he has this weird samurai past. So we get like Silver Samurai, which is like literally a silver samurai guy. That guy fucking sucks. And then you just get like Lady Deathstrike, who just has long adamantium claws, and you get Cyber, who has adamantium arms, and you get Sabretooth, who's just Wolverine. It sucks. Like, his villains are the worst.
Yeah.
I cannot think of one good Wolverine villain.
Yeah.
Plenty of good X-Men villains, but like nothing, no good Wolverine.
Yeah.
Villains.
Like, so what you would want for this is somebody whose powers offset whatever he does, right? You know, just what does Wolverine do again? No. just where they fit together. Like, who's the only person who can fight Superman? Oh, a very rich person who can get access to kryptonite whenever he wants. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. There we go.
Or I mean, and then you have like the masterclass version of it, where you have like Batman villains, where all of them are like some evil version of him, or his personality taken to an extreme or something like that.
Yeah. But still, there's a little bit of thought. It's not just the same thing over and over again. Like, the villain is not just you, but darker.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Is Wolverine still a melty metal man?
You know, I don't actually know. He did become that melty metal man. I think that Marvel is going through some problems right now.
And they're going through their own New 52.
That's exactly what it is. Like, they did some kind of thing where everyone, like, a lot of creatures had their own, like, there's a reality convergence, and then there was everyone had their own battle world.
It's a Crystal Ships level, like, Tim and Eric thing. Everybody had their own battle world.
I just want everyone to have their own battle world and be, you know, it is an embarrassing time to be into Marvel right now. Because, I mean, I don't read modern, I haven't read modern Marvel comics. Right. I'm not saying that to be like, you know, cool or anything. I fell off reading modern comics a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
So that happened. So now I think there's Old Man Logan is the Wolverine we have. I think the Wolverine that turned into Metal Man is still Metal Man and still dead.
Okay.
I think that another reality Wolverine has taken over, and there's also a Lady Wolverine who's not his daughter.
It's not X-23 or whatever.
X-23. I think there's just a girl Wolverine now.
Huh.
It's very, very confusing. So yeah, Marvel introduces female Wolverine.
I'm desperately happy that I said X-23 and it was right.
Yeah, good job, man. Well, it looks like this new Wolverine might be X-23 because she has the two claws.
Okay.
So, but not that it makes any sense. Like, you can't, like, why did they make her a clone?
Right.
Like that's like you can't have a clone that is a daughter, you know. But then there's Dakin too, which is his son. Who's like an edgier,
like the radish that's on a banh mi?
A daikon?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, no, that's the torment daikon guy. Come on.
Yeah. The there cannot be two fries. The it's like almost a good joke if like daikon was served with fries, like
right?
That would be like but yeah, so daikon is the Wolverine with like weird pheromone girl control powers that are gross.
Oh man, no, that's not good. Put away the Dakin, orb.
Dakin's no good. Put away your orb, Dakin. the one good thing I like about Dakin is that when there were the Dark Avengers, which were a thing, like Norman Osborn. Boy, this is really boring.
No, I want to hear it. Like
Osborn like gained a bunch of prominence after the Civil War event.
Okay.
For being like an advocate for controlling superheroes and stuff, and got some government power, and ended up introducing a government sanctioned Avengers. And because there are all these like kind of shitty, like clone versions of things, mm-hmm. he was able to, so he's like, we have Wolverine on our team. It was actually Dakin, but nobody, the man on the street doesn't know that Wolverine has three claws versus guy having two claws. So there are all these little things like that where he's like, oh, this is Wolverine. And nobody had any reason not to believe it was Wolverine.
I'm not a ditto borb.
Exactly, like this Wolverine ditto, or like there's Dark Beast, who's the evil version of Beast.
not just when Beast turned evil at the end of Morrison's run.
No, it would. No, not that.
Different.
That. No, maybe that was Dark. No, that wasn't Dark Beast. That was Beast infected with the Sublime virus.
Right.
God, comics. some of these are comics I very much like, and it's real hard to describe them. You just say what they are, and it's like, whoa. I don't even have to like make fun of them. You just like just say the plot, and they just become terrible. My whole life is a lie.
Although
they call Jeremy and cancel the podcast.
The good stuff's in the gutters. You know, it's what they don't show. Exactly. So it's those little white lines where it gets not embarrassing.
Yeah, well, I mean, and there are like even within these, like these. I'm not talking about good storylines,
right? Here. Right.
And even within these storylines, there are good parts. So, like, the Dark Avengers was real stupid. Other than that, like, one little kind of idea I liked about it. But there was, like, a Thunderbolt reboot that came out of it that was pretty good, I remember. Things like that. Like, there were some that Warren Ellis wrote and, like, was consequently, like, pretty good. So there are good comics that came out of it. But, like, boy, just as a broad concept, like, I understand why there are certain people who just, like, turn their back and laugh at this shit.
Yeah,
you know, like why would I ever read this instead of like a cool Daniel Klaus indie comic that actually deals with themes and shit.
Yeah,
as opposed to these cartoon clowns just farting their way to the beat off bonanza.
Yeah, but so it's kind of, it's weird, right? Because I don't imagine that somebody like starts out on, you know, like starts out reading American Splendor or something like that.
Yeah,
you know, like you kind of have to pass through this stuff, right? Whether you pass through Archie or, you know, Richie Rich or whatever, in order to get to that, or whether you pass through superhero comics and get into like the edgier stuff and then end up somewhere else. Like, it feels like all roads might lead through, I'm projecting a lot here too. It feels like all roads might lead through this.
Yeah. Yeah. It's also, you know, it's a medium that was originally made for kids and now is the primary demographic is like dudes who are 25 to 35, mm-hmm. you know, for the most part. I mean, that's changing. Like, it's getting more diverse.
Yeah.
More women are reading superhero comics now.
Yeah.
But, because of that, there's like
the younger people are going for the, like the movies and stuff. Like,
yeah. Totally. Like get into it because of that. And the younger people are like way into, like, there's a huge, like,
Gary, tell me what the young people are into.
Like, let me tell you about the young folks. there's like a Tumblr contingent that are really into diverse mainstream comics. Like you get your like Captain Marvel and stuff, like and the new Spider-Man stuff, who are ladies, or Squirrel Girl or something like that.
Yeah,
they're very popular.
I hear Squirrel Girl is like really good.
She, when she first came back, when I was like reading comics in the mid 2000s and late 2000s, she was very, like, very funny. Like, she was the best part of Dan Slott's like kind of comedy comic revival thing with the Great Lakes Avengers, who has one of my favorite superheroes ever, who's Mr. Immortal, who has no powers at all, but just can't die. So like he just like is, but he's just as strong and as smart and as good as just a dude, you know. So he's like pretty useless. He just can't die, and that just like came up in really clever ways and was kind of utilized in really really great ways.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
there's a Mr. Fantastic guy who's like 100% flat. So he's like he can stretch and stuff, but he's always two dimensional. So like. It looks like Mr. Fantastic, you know, making a point, but it really it's just a guy who's flat.
Like, oh, it's like the door frames. It's and like shit. The end of the filth.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. I don't know. I've also heard good things about She-Hulk, where she's a lawyer. You know.
Yeah, that's Dan Slott as well. Okay, Dan Slott's really good. He wrote one of my favorite concepts for a comic is this comic called Arkham Asylum: Living Hell. Where it's like this guy, the point of view character is like this banker guy who did a bunch of, you know, banker crimes. And he lives in Arkham City, and, to get out of his crimes, he pleads insanity, which is like the worst thing to do in Arkham City.
Right.
Like it's way worse to get into Arkham Asylum than it is to go to jail. Right. So it's like him dealing with being a regular inmate in Arkham Asylum, who's not actually insane, just has to deal with like hanging around Two-Face and fucking Killer Croc and shit. And it's like such a good one-line premise for a comic. Yeah. Like,
did it end up being any good?
It's good. At the end of it, it gets into Arkham mythology stuff. So like Arkham, the origins of Arkham Asylum get real, like, and this is Grant Morrison's fault, actually. Like, I love him, but he, the Serious House on Serious Earth, like graphic novel he did, has the whole kind of asylum tied into some occult stuff that I think, it doesn't necessarily make it worse, but it detracts from the power of like the story Dan Slott was trying to tell.
Yeah.
So it ends up becoming about the kind of mythology stuff. Yeah. Boy, there's a lot of me pontificating about Wolverine and X-Men.
I don't have the background on this, obviously, that you have. And I've kind of fallen away from reading a lot of stuff outside of like, I get the Dark Tower stuff and I get Saga. And that's kind of about it right now.
Yeah.
About Walking Dead too, but that's
I fell off Walking Dead because I had a coworker whose husband used to loan me the individual issues. And I stopped kind of reading it, but I felt like it was a good place to stop. Like, it was like right at the end of the Negan's thing. Like, this is kind of good. Like, you know, like this was a cool test that they were doing. I realized that they upped the stakes, and I've kind of read a little bit about what comes after that. But I felt like I was good with that as a really long, like, relatively satisfying, you know, conflict.
Yeah. I haven't.
Is it worth picking up past that or no?
I need to check. It's been about 6 months. So there might be a new trade for me. Like, the new villain's fine. Like, again, it's just somebody with a different philosophy on what humanity needs to be after.
Yeah.
You know, after this, like, and, you know, to a certain point, it gets a little bit annoying when you see Robert Kirkman come out and say, like, oh, the Walking Dead show could just go forever. You know, like, we have the Walking Dead comic could just go forever. It's like, I don't know. I don't know if the concept is as resilient as you think it is.
It's an extremely bad idea to do that, I think.
You know, and I haven't watched the show in forever. I've got people at work who I talk to just to compare the show to the comics, but
yeah. I've kind of followed some of the stuff on the show too, just to like in the side. Like, the second season of that show, I think, is one of the worst seasons of TV I've sat through.
Yeah.
So I watched a little bit of the third season. I was like, I don't care enough about this to keep up with it.
Yeah.
But I kind of kept up with it because I have a vague curiosity. Like, the part of me that likes, like, the trashy part of me that was into, like, there's the part of me that liked Breaking Bad because it is, you know, the most slow and complete transformation of a character into a villain that's, you know, been portrayed.
Yeah.
You know, in visual medium.
Oh, did you see that terrible Saturday Night Live skit?
I did.
The cold opening. That was why. Why did you do that?
Him making that Knox thing made me really frustrated.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I get it. It's kind of a funny idea, but there's no wringing any humor from Trump's America is very hard for me because it's such a scary, terrible thing. That's like when people like ironically end their statements with sad.
Yep.
And I'm like, oh, you know, he's going to do war crimes. Like, this thing you're joking about, you know, there's like literally no chance he hasn't fingered his daughter. and he's going to do a bunch of war crimes, right?
Right.
Like, you're making this joke, but it's tons of people are going to die. It's very hard for me to be humorful about current politics,
or even just even on the level of having Cranston traipse out this character for something that was not that well written.
Yeah, it was not really that well written. Like, I mean, the idea, again, I get the idea behind it, because the best take on that, and we maybe close on this because we're getting into tangents that I'm happy to do, but we should save for the next two episodes, which we have nothing to say. I think it was Paul Rust, it was John Daly, and he's like, I heard that Trump put the Secretary of Piss in charge of being the Secretary of Shit. One, it's that bringing piss to a shit fight kind of joke, that I like, but just like, that is a really good articulation of what is actually happening. Like, it is the secretary, it's Bizarro in charge of the Secretary of Superman, anywho,
I don't know.
good time to get out of here, Jeremy. I hopefully this was, there's not that much to talk about these games. It is Logan being a jerk, like you said. I was thrown by not playing the same game and actually getting a pleasant 40 minutes of replaying a game I really liked, and was like, I should actually try to play this again, because this is very fun. The one I'm watching, I just watched, it looks like the big downfall to the Wolverine's Rage, I've been watching a long play of it in the background, is inconsistent platforming. Like, this guy just took like 30 tries to make this like very simple looking platforming jump, and it's very hard to watch.
There's also like dead ends in a platformer, like, you shouldn't be a maze, guys.
No, mazes are out. Mazes are out in 2016. But thank you, Jeremy. We love you immensely, as you know.
If you would like to be like Jeremy and be able to dictate a game that we may or may not play half of or so,
and this was also an accident. That we will play the game. It just and it's also Jeremy's fault as an accident too. So
you can go on over to patreon.com/duckvtv back at the $25 level, and you get put on the list to demand a game. List is a little long, but you still get it in there, and once you suggest it, it's held, and we'll play it then.
It'll happen. Like, unless we die, we will get to it. So we do two of those a month, which means that they're coming fast and furious. If you another way you can support the show is by writing ratings and reviews. That is a huge help. It's been a little while since we've had one, and this show can use that kind of help because it doesn't have a log line that is easy to sell. The last two episodes, in which we pretty much talked about sexual fetishism, and then
that was a premium comics one.
Premium episode, like, you had to pay to hear us talk about that fetish. Which, like, we should have paid more, given that. In this one, where it's just like, what is somebody who stopped reading comics in 2008 think about current category of Marvel that he knows from listening to one podcast that comes out once every 2 months? Big okay sign there. So it's hard to sell the ineffable charms of abject suffering, but we need your help to do it because of that.
And I think that's just about it. So thanks for sticking around, and we will see you next time. And until then, Wolf Dog?
Yeah, who is boy, I feel like there's a war dog character or something like that he fights. Ugh. Is there a war dog? I'm thinking of the werewolves who fought Excalibur. I'm in too deep, Cole. we have to unplug before I start talking about Excalibur in the 90s.